Rory's discovery hadn't made the lead, but it got more time than Detroit. It wasn't often they had a story that was interplanetary and local. There was an interesting deja vu feeling to watching it, seeing which parts of the interview were chosen and how they were modified. They didn't actually monkey with Rory's responses, but some of the questions were changed. Predictably, there was nothing about parallax or non-coincidence of the human minute being part of the signal, nothing about what the distance and speed implied. That would come in a later broadcast. This 7 o'clock one just established their scoop. Nick had brought the ouzo and stood by Norman, watching the broadcast. "Your wife gonna be famous," he said. "She gonna still talk to you?" "Oh, she'll talk to me." Norman sipped the ouzo and looked away from the screen, which was featuring a graphic feminine hygiene commercial. "Guys from outer space," Nick mused. "About time they admitted they was out there."
"Really?"
"Sure. Been in the papers since I was a kid. Damn Air Force shot one down 100 years ago. They got the dead aliens in a freezer."
"Nick, you don't believe that."
"It was in the paper," he said. "Hell, it was on the cube."
He raised both eyebrows high and bent to polish a table that was already spotless.
"This could be pretty big," Norman said. Rory didn't think there was any way it could be a hoax. Otherwise, she wouldn't have called the news.
"Well, you don't never know, do you?"
"I guess in about a week we'll find out. You wouldn't care to make a gentleman's bet."
Nick stared at his reflection in the plastic tabletop and scowled comically.
"Where are you from, Mr. Bell?"
"Boston."
"Well, I never make bets with people from Boston."
"I was actually born in Washington, D.C.
"You kidding? That's even worse."
The news picked up with outer space again. They'd had time to contact the moon. A confused Japanese astronomer, the one who had verified Rory's signal, was on live, providing more questions than answers.
"What do you mean, message? Speed of light? Who is this Aurora Bell?"
Rory hadn't identified herself personally, of course. She was just some code name like UF/GRB1. When the announcer explained to the scientist that Professor Bell had decoded the signal as "We're coming," repeated 60 times, his eyes narrowed.
"Is this some sort of college prank?"
And someone off camera handed him a piece of paper. He stared at it for several seconds and then looked up.
We apparently have verified the Florida analysis. We're coming."
"So what does that mean, Dr. Nomura?" The delay was longer than the usual Earth-Moon time lag. He shook his head.
"I suppose it means they're coming, whoever they might be."
He spread his hands in a gesture more Gallic than Oriental.
"I don't have the faintest idea. Of course, we can't rule out the possibility of a hoax. Not to accuse your Mr. Bell."
He glanced off camera and back.
"Mrs. Bell, Dr. Bell, excuse us. We really do have to discuss this."
He walked away, the camera starting to track the back of his head, and then cutting to the moonscape in the hollow window behind where he'd been standing.
"Tell you what, Mr. Bell, I say it's a hoax. If I'm right, you owe me $100. If I'm wrong, you and me gotta trade jobs for a day."
"What, you can play the cello?"
"Maybe. Never tried."
Norman laughed. "It's tempting, but I'll pass. Never was much of a pastry chef." He pointed. "Oh yeah, Rory wanted a slice of spanakopita."
"Sure thing, fresh this morning."
A small dark man came in and let the door slam behind him. He was in formal evening wear and looked as if he'd been up all night.
"Que pasa, professor?"
"Not much," Norman said. The man had called him professor ever since he found out his wife outranked him. "Invasion from outer space."
"Yeah, right. Lay your odds."
"Better talk to Nick about that. Thanks." Norman took the spinach pie, paid, and left.